Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Menachos Daf Nun Gimel. We begin on Nun Beis Amud Beis. So it's three lines from the bottom. We begin with a question that Rabbi Pireda asked of Rabbi Yami regarding the Menachos. We know that a mincha is meant to be strictly matzah as opposed to chametz, so they must ensure that it doesn't become leavened, it doesn't rise, as we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. And the question is, what is the source for this halacha? So in some cases, the Torah actually spells it out. It should be made of matzah. But otherwise, if the Torah leaves it unspecified, how do we know that in fact matzah is a requirement? Boiminei Rabbi Pireda, me Rabbi Yam. He asked the question. Minayin l'chol ha-manochos shehein bois matzah. From where do we learn this halacha that a mincha in the Beis Hamikdash must be strictly comprised of matzah material? Minolan. No, when we speak about matzah, by the way, it just means that it's not chametz. It doesn't necessarily mean it's thin like a crispy cracker. In fact, in halacha it's brought that they would make even thicker, pita style, matzah. In fact, the Sfaradim do so even today. So it's not a question of the form and the shape. It's about whether it has risen, has come to the point of chimutz. The dough has come to the point that it rose. And if it hadn't, it's called matzah. Menayin l'chol ha-menachos shehein bois matzah. How do we know that matzah is a critical requirement regarding all menachos? That was his question. Says Rabbi Ami in response, Minolan? What do you mean, where do we know it from? D'chsivba. Those types where the Torah says matzah, so you have it right there in writing. Like sivba, even those that are unspecified, where the Torah doesn't specify that it must be matzah, well, we have one, like a universal expression, which addresses all menachos. Like sivba, even those that don't have a specific directive on that specific mincha, sivba, we have a general directive applied to all menachos equally. Zoyis Torah haMincha. This is the way a mincha is meant to be made. Hakru Eisav Bnei Aaron, Bnei Hashem, Bnei Mizbeach. When he says, next pasuk, when he says, Man Yechlu Aaron Barav Matzos. There you go, Matzos Teyocha. All minchas are meant to be matzah only. Amar Leih. Says Rabbi Pareda to Rabbi Yami. I understand. Of course, there's a pasuk. Mitzvah Lakim Boili. I never had a question that, in fact, it's a mitzvah. That a mincha is comprised of matzah material. Okay, my question was, how do we know that it's critical, it's essential, that otherwise it's pasul? It's important, but how do we know how important it is? Amar Leih, he responds, la'akev namiksiv. We have a pasuk for that as well. Lo yisei ofa chametz. Pasuk says it should not be baked as chametz, which means elo matzah. So this sort of repetition, since it already says matzah, it says matzah, then it says do not make it chametz. What does that tell you? That if it's anything other than matzah, if it's chametz, it's pasul, right? So you have a chametz, ela matzah. Mask of Laruch Chizda. Okay, but I have a question on this. If this is your source, who's to say that it has to be matzah? You see, there is a in-between stage as well. There is pure matzah. On the other side of the spectrum, you have the true chametz. In the middle is something called si'ur. Si'ur is sort of halfway, somewhere in between matzah and chametz. It's partially developed chametz. Now, before we continue, we're meant to sort of refer back to a Mishnah Maseches Pesachim, which defines for us these stages. Okay, we have matzah, which is pretty clear cut. We have chametz on the other side, which is pretty clear cut. We have siur in the middle. Now, what exactly? How do we define the siur stage? It's a machlekes. According to Rav Meir, Let's call it stage 1, 2, and 3. Stage 1, hichsifu panav. It's pale. It sort of gets white. The dough has that pale look to it. That is stage 1. That's called siur, which indicates that it's partially on the verge of, you know, in the process of becoming chametz. According to the Meir, actually, siur is very similar in status to chametz. In fact, if one eats it on Pesach, there's a lav. So in certain sense, it's treated like chametz. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's nothing. That's plain matzah. Stage 2 would be where you see these lines crisscrossing the surface of the dough. It's called karni chagavim. And according to Rameir, stage 2 is truly chametz. Okay, has that status. According to Rabbi Yehuda, stage 2 is siur, is undeveloped chametz. Then we have, beyond that, we have, so stage 2 is you have some, actually not crisscross, you have just like, the Mishnah calls it karni chagavim, lines, like the antenna of a grasshopper. And stage 3 is where they crisscross. Right? That indicates a more developed dough, which is already in the chimutz pra, which is already full-fledged chametz. Okay, again, just to refresh, we have stage 1, which is the pale look. According to Rameir, that's siur. According to Rida, it's plain matzah. Stage 2 is where you have these markings on the dough, these lines. According to Rameir, that is considered real chametz. According to Rida, that's merely siur. And you have stage 3 with the lines sort of crisscross, which according to even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's considered really chametz. So back to our Gemara. Yom Mincha is meant to be strictly matzah. Who says maybe siur is also fine? So even if it's partially, you know, developed chametz, maybe that's also okay, as long as it's not full-fledged chametz. So now, which stage are we talking about? Stage 1, stage 2, stage 3? Ela siur, siur deman. Which definition of siur are we talking about? Who's Shita? Either a mayor. Are we speaking about Rameir's siur stage, which is stage 1? Now, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not an issue. Matzah ma'ali, that's truly matzah, wouldn't be an issue. Either Rabbi Yehuda, are we speaking about Rabbi Yehuda's type of siur, which is what we call stage 2? Well, that would be an issue. Rabbi Meir, chametz ma'ali, according to Rabbi Meir, that's truly chametz. That's out of bounds, of course, that's not acceptable. Now, either Rameir, okay, perhaps we're speaking about stage 1, which according to Rameir is seer, and according to Rameir, perhaps that's allowed by the mincha. That's also not an option. Why? Midalokiyale, as we learned before, according to Rameir, on Pesach, one is not allowed to consume, even stage 1, there's malchus, chametz, apparently considers it a certain variation of chametz, and likewise, it's not acceptable by a mincha. So again, that's not an option. Ella, so the only option would be perhaps the Rabbi Yehuda, Stage 2, which according to Rabbi Yehuda is defined as siur, and we're going like Rabbi Yehuda now, that it's not really chametz. In fact, there's no lav for eating it on Pesach, so perhaps it would be acceptable by a mincha. So that's one kasha we have. And the kasha relates back to that source that we had before. How do we know that mincha is meant to be purely matzah? Lo siyof chametz. With that repetition, it has to be matzah. Who says? Maybe stage 2, which is siur, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is also fine. That's the first question. Second question is, maskeflor of Nachman Bar Yitzchak. I have another question on this source. Ve'im lo siyof chametz. Perhaps the Torah is saying, don't make it chametz. Okay, don't make it true chametz. Elo chalot. But perhaps you have to put it through a chalot process. Says the Gemara, what is that? Chalut, mayni, revucha. That's what the Torah calls revucha. Which means they take the dough and they drop it into boiling hot water. They sort of scald it, right? Is that what you mean? Well, the Torah speaks about this actually. Some menachos require this process, and some that don't, right? Idi ikur revucha, a mincha which requires revucha, like the minchas chavitin, like the some of the breads of a toida, as we see in the psukim. Well, the Torah explains it. Revucha ksiba, it clearly requires it. It says revucha. Ksiba revucha. Right? Idika revucha, ksiba revucha. Vaha. Or there's a girsa idileka revucha. And those that don't need revucha, well, ksiba revucha. That's why it doesn't say revucha in the Torah. You can't just mix and match. I mean, you do as told. Says the Gemara, you're right. I'm not saying that it's required. Ve'ema, perhaps we can suggest. The chsibah revucha, those in which the Torah specifies that it needs to be revucha, mitzvah revucha. Then you're required to do revucha, it's a mitzvah. But even those that don't have that specification, do like chsibah revucha where it doesn't say revucha, perhaps it's just up to you. You can do it either way. You can bring it, you know, undeveloped, pure, you know, matzah, and you can bring it scalded, partially developed. But like Sibar Rebucha, Iboy, if he wishes, Rebucha Laisi, he can still bring Rebucha. Iboy, if he chooses, Matzah Laisi, he can bring it Matzah without Rebucha. So, how do we know that your typical Mincha comes as pure, unprocessed Matzah? Third question. Maskefla, Ravina, I have a question. Ve'emma Laisiafa Chametz. Perhaps your Pasuk, Laisiafa, is addressing the person. L'meikam gavr b'lav v'alma. You don't make it chametz. But in terms of the kashrus of the mincha itself, who says it's affected? Who says it becomes pasul, gets disqualified by becoming chametz? B'lav v'alma. V'ifsuli l'mifsul. Who says it becomes pasul? Perhaps you can't do it, but the mincha itself is still kasha. So there are three kashas. If the source is l'si'afa chametz, perhaps si'ur is acceptable, perhaps revucha is acceptable, perhaps the mincha itself wouldn't become pasul, even if it's chametz. El manila. So now we need another source. And in fact, a mincha must be strictly matzah. Could the sani have a brisa? Okay, so the pasuk says by the mincha, it's actually a minchas machvas, it says, matzah tihiyah. Yochel mitzvah, perhaps. It's just instructing us to do it as a mitzvah. How do we know that it's critical? Tamal Leimar. The second word is tiyah. Tiyah means it's absolute. Hakosav kava chayva. The Torah establishes it as a must. As an absolute. If it's chametz, it's possible. Okay. So we had one question posed by Rabbi Pareda to Rabbi Ami. Where's the source for a mincha being matzah only? We had one answer, now we had a final conclusion here with a pasuk matzah tia. Here comes the second question the Rabbi Pareda asked of Rabbi Ami. Boy, my name Rabbi Pareda, my Rabbi Ami. Minayin, so once we establish that a mincha is meant to be matzah, but you know by the matzah that we use on Pesach, there's a pasuk of shmarta misa matzahs, and we learned that there's a special din to do shmira, that's why we call it matzah shmura. It isn't enough that we know circumstantially that it's not. You have to actually guard it. There's a mitzvah to do so. You have to do it lishma, with that in mind, that you're guarding, you know, the matzah from becoming chametz to be used for, you know, for the mitzvah, right? What about a mincha? Does it have the same stipulation? Minayin l'chol ha-menachetz. How do we know that all menachetz in Beis HaMikdash shen loishes v'poishrin? Since they are kneaded with water, lukewarm water, so this can facilitate the chimutz process. So mishamron shleich mitzvah, you have to guard it. Rashi explains, how do you guard it? Standing and watching is not enough. You have to actually be active with it. You have to physically engage in the dough to prevent it from becoming chametz. And according to some mefarshim, Chazon Ish, you have to have that in mind. Lishma. You're doing a mitzvah of shimur. You're guarding it from becoming chametz. You're maintaining its matzah status to be used for a mitzvah. How do we know that's true? Shall we learn it from the matzahs of Pesach? The chsiv where it says v'shmartem es ha-matzahs. I'm relaying. See, it says actually, We don't need to look to the matzis of Pesach. Beguva ksiv, look in this pasuk itself by the mincha. Matzah tiyah. Tiyah means hachayah. Keep it alive. Maintain its matzah status. Ensure that it's free of any chimutz. Ask the Gemara, v'afikte la'akev. A minute ago we used that same pasuk to teach us that the matzah feature is critical, right? From the word matzah tia. It's unavailable for this halach. Well, we can learn both from the same pasuk. Im kain, if it's only to tell us that it's me'akev, lichtev kro matzahi, it would say matzahi. This is meant to be matzahi, it's absolute. That'll be for the first halach. My tia. Why does the Torah use the word tia? That's for the second point of achayeho, shamas minotarti, that allows us to learn another halacha as well. That there's a din to do shimur, to guard the dough, maintain its masa status, to be used for the mincha. Okay, so we had two questions that were posed by the same person, Rabbi Pareda, and on account of that, here comes a story involving Rabbi Pareda, famous Rabbi Pareda, who took a great interest in his Talmud, right, and very patiently taught him the Gemara 400 times. Remember the whole story. Okay, Amri Le Rabbanan Rabbi Pareda. So the Chachamim informed Rabbi Pareda about a special guest that arrived. His name was Rabbi Ezra, and he was a grandson Barbarei Rabbi Avtulas. And actually, if you count up the generations, Rabbi Ezra was a tenth from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to Asiri Lerez ben Azariah, who himself was 10th generation from Ezra HaSofer, famous Ezra HaSofer, to Asiri LeEzra. This is how they referred to the guest. Look, this great guest, such a lineage, came to visit. Koya Bava standing at the door. Omar, so Rabbi Pareda responds with surprise. He says, what's this whole introduction? His grandfather, his great-grandfather, what's he all about, right? Omar, my kuliyai, what's this whole big deal? Ibar Uri, or Uri means, is he a Talmud Chacham? Is he a Ben Torah? Is he a knowledge? Is he a learned person? Ibar Uri and who? Yay, great. So he comes with his own credentials. Ibar Uri and Ubar Avon, if he's firstly a Talmud Chacham and also a man of Yichus, Yoi, there's a Girsi Yoi V'yoi, it's even better, great. So he has his own personal credentials, it's in the genes, okay. V'yibar Avon, V'loi bar Uriam, but the fact that you sort of seem to ignore his own credentials and you're just highlighting his family, it sounds like he doesn't have what to say from it. It's just a lineage thing. If he's a bar Avon, he has a lineage, V'loi bar Uriam, without his own personal merits, then he's even worse. Isha Tichle should be consumed by fire, meaning, why didn't he continue the family tradition? He had who to learn from, he had who to model. So what's going on? Amr Lusi says, no, Bar Urianu, yeah, he's a great man on his own right. Amr Lusi says, okay, Leo Belaisi, tell him, invite him in. Apparently Rabbi Ezra overheard, Ezra overheard this and sort of back and forth, and he wasn't, he felt a little bad about this whole, Chazi, so Rabbi Pareda noticed that his guest was a little bit downcast. Abachira Daitif, it looked a little bit. Pasach v'Amar, so he called out to him. He says, listen to this interesting vart I want to tell you. I'm so glad that they clarified and informed me about your credentials, about your record, about your status in Torah. Great thing, now I know who I'm talking to. In fact, that's what Klal Yisrael told Hashem, that's how it links into his Dvar Torah, which is on a similar topic. V'amar, Pasuk V'amar, he began to say like this, Amar L'Hashem, this is a Pasuk in Tehillim, right? You addressed Hashem, Klal Yisrael turns to Hashem, Hashem Ata, Tevasa Balalecha, we publicize your name. Amra, Knesses, Yisrael, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael turns to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, please give me the credit. It's me, it's us who publicized your name, your renown in the world. We're the ones that Amar Lo. Hashem responds, it's not your credit, it's your ancestors. Tevasi balalecha. No, I don't, owe you any. Any machzik teiva. I'm going to hold favor to the Avos. Elul Avram, Yitzchak v'Yaakov, they were the ones who initiated this whole awareness campaign. They're the ones who started educating the general public about Hashem's presence, about the truth of reality. Shenemar. In fact, that's the next pasuk. Kedoshim Hashibarat Heima, the great holy ones, the Avos, V'Adirik Kochav Tzibam. They're the ones that get the credit. They started the process. You're just, picking up where they left off. Okay, so that was his Dvar Torah in honor of his guest. And that sort of jogged his mind, and he came back with his own Dvar Torah on a similar topic, based on this pasuk. Given the Shaman to come out Adir, once he heard the term Adir, the great ancestors, Pasaf Amar, so he came back with his own presentation, which was like a riddle-like sort of Dvar Torah, and it was the first of three that he's going to tell us. Actually, four. So there were sort of lessons embedded in a very interesting, like sort of cryptic-sounding riddle. And this first one refers to the Lashon Adir, which he had mentioned. Adir, the great, the outstanding ones. Pasav Amar, so he began with his presentation. He says like this. When Hashem punished the Egyptians in the Yam Suf for what they did to Klal Yisrael, you can encapsulate it in the following sentence, which sort of makes use of the same words in a repetitive manner. Yavai Adir, Hashem, who's the Adir, the outstanding, mighty one, he comes. So Rashi says, this was Hashem's sort of expression. I'm coming. What I'm coming to do, this is what I'm doing. Yavi Adir. V'yifra l'Adir, and he will punish the Adirim, the mighty Egyptians, me Adirim, for what they did to the Jews who are out, the outstanding people, ba Adirim, by way of the raging waters of the Red Sea. And he explains himself. Yavi Adir. Who's the Adir? Who's coming? Zakadish Baruch Hu. Yosef Adir, which is a term referring to Hashem in this context, Bamarim Hashem. Vifra Ladirim, he'll get back at the Adirim. Ladirim, he will seek retribution against the Egyptians for the sake of what they did to the Israel. Eli Israel, Shnemar, Vadire Kochev Tzibam. The Adiri, in this case, are the Yidden. And who's going to be the recipient of this Mei Adirim? The Egyptians. Elo HaMisrim Uchsev Tzolo Kaiferes B'mayim. Who sank in the waters? Adirim. B'mayim. Adirim. B'mayim is like a comma. Adirim. The Adirim are the ones who drowned in the waters. And this will happen B'adirim Elo Mayim through the waters Shenama Mekodes Mayim Ram Adirim Mishbriyam. Okay. Okay, here comes the second cryptic Dvar Torah. This relates to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which happened through Shlomo HaMelech. It happened in Yerushalayim, in the territory of Binyamin. So we have a sort of a riddle which encapsulates what happened. Yavai Yedid Ben Yedid, V'Yivne Yedid, Li Yedid, B'Chalkash Yedid, V'Yischapur Ba Yedidim. Explanation. Yavai Yedid, who comes? The Yedid. The close one. The beloved. Who's that referring to? The Shlomo HaMelech. So Hashem sent a message with the prophet Nosson, and he labeled Shlomo as Yedidya, the Yedid of Hashem, the friend of Hashem. He will come, and he is Yedid ben Yedid. Who's we're up to Amid Beis. Ben Yedid is Avraham Avinu. He's the son of a former of a beloved, Avraham Avinu, which is referring to Avraham Avinu. And what does he do? Vivna Yedid. He builds the Yedid, the place of Yedidus, of close ship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. So the Mishkan of Hashem is called Yedidus. He built it for Hashem, of course, Liyidid, Yakadish Baruch Hu. Chsev Ashir, no, Liyididi. Right? So Yididi, in this case, is Hashem. Location is territory of Binyamin, who is labeled as Yidid Hashem. And the purpose is v'yischaper by yididim klal yisrael. What called yididim will atone, get atonement in this case hamigdash. So yididim in this case is el yisrael. Chsev nasatis yididus nafshe b'kafayvea. So yididus is klal yisrael. Okay. Next dvar Torah that he said was yavai toiv v'kabel toiv mitoiv latoivim. This is referring to the Torah that was transmitted through Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael. Yavai Toiv. Who comes? Toiv. Who's Toiv? Zeh Moshe. Maral says that the word Toiv in this case refers to the ultimate goodness. So it's Moshe Rabbeinu who is the ultimate Toiv in his class, in the people class. Torah is the ultimate Toiv, right? And it's etc. Hashem is the ultimate Toiv, right? In each realm, right? So Yavai Toiv, Yikabel Toiv, Mitoiv, Latoiv. Yavai Toiv, who's coming? Zeh Moshe, Dechsev, Vatera, Isik, Yitoiv, is called Toiv. Yitoiv. Yikabel Toiv, he accepts the Toiv. The ultimate Toiv is Torah, so Torah. Dechsev, Ki Lekach Toiv, Nasati Lachem. Who does he receive it from? The source of all goodness, Hashem, Mitoiv. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dechsev, Toiv, Hashem, Lakoil. Who's it for? Who's it meant for? Latoiv, the good ones. El Yisrael, Dechsev, Yativ, Hashem, Latoiv. And one final riddle for us today is Yavai Zeh V'Yikabel Zois Mi Zeh Lamzu, as follows. Yavai Zeh, Zeh will come along. Who's Zeh? Zeh Moshe. Yachsev Ki Zeh Moshe Yish. Moshe is called Zeh. V'Yikabel Zois, he receives Zois, which is the Torah, HaTorah. Yachsev Zois HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe. Who does he receive it from? Mi Zeh? Who's Zeh? Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yachsev Zeh Keilu HaMeil. And who's it meant for? Lamzu, meant for this nation, which is called Yisrael, Yisrael Lech Shnemar Amzukomis. Okay, now the Gemara will elaborate on a pasuk which we mentioned earlier regarding Avraham Avinu. Amar b'yitzchak b'shoah shachara b'yis hamikdash. When Hashem destroyed the b'yis hamikdash, Matzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'Avraham. Hashem encounters Avraham Avinu the Zeideh sheyo'im b'yis hamikdash. He was standing b'yis hamikdash, which was being destroyed. Amar Lah, Hashem asked him, what are you doing here? Mali didi b'beisi, my beloved, what are you doing in my house? Amar Lah, he says, I came to look after the other kids. Aliskei bonai, bossy. I came to look after my kids. Amar Lois, he says, Banach HaChatu, what should I do? Your kids sinned. Vigalu, and they went to exile. Amar Lois. So Avraham Avinu attempts to advocate for them. Shema b'shogi chatu, perhaps it was unintentional sins. Amar Lois, Hashem says, no, it was intentional. Asoy sam zimasa, loshen of mezid, of intentional. Amar Lois, he says, but maybe Shema Miyuz and Chad, maybe it was only a minority of Klal Yisrael who sinned. Amar Lois says, no, the many. Harav Ma'ilach, Ha'ilachal Yiskabris Mila, says Avraham Avinu. You should have recalled the Bris Mila, which is an expression of our absolute connection, which overrides all types of ups and downs. Amar Lois, Hashem responds, well, they failed to even fulfill and to tap into the mitzvah of Mila. Ubsar Kodesh, Yavra Melech. Amar Lois, he says, Shema imim tantalhem hayuchoizim mitshuva. Perhaps if you would have waited, given them a little more time, they would have come back full circle. Amar Lois says, no. They were enjoying themselves. They weren't planning on coming back. Kiri reya yisaychi. Kiri asaychi as taloizi. They were rejoicing. Okay. Fafalan. Too bad. Miyad. Hiniach yada al reishai. Avraham Avinu got very distressed. He put his hands on his head, and he's crying and calling out, and he turned to Hashem. He says, Shema chas v'shalom eilem ta'akana, perhaps there's no way back, there's no way to rectify this. Yotze baskel, a heavenly voice calls out and says, don't worry, they'll come back. Zayis ra'anon yofa pritoya rakar Hashem shimcha. Klal Yisrael is regarded like an olive tree. Ma zayis u'achrisa b'soyve, just like by an olive tree. Success comes all the way at the end of the road. It's a long road, but then we see success. Rashi says it takes a long time for it to grow its fruit. Some explain the oil is only extracted after much effort. In any case, we're comparing Klal Yisrael to the olive tree. It's a long process, but ultimately they will achieve success. They'll get to their destination. Af Yisrael, likewise, Klal Yisrael, Achrisim B'Soif, and they're ultimate success is only experienced at the end. Ultimately, they'll come back. Okay, we have the pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, "L'koil hamula gedoyla." Hates Aish Aleha. Virodil Yosef. What does this mean? Amar Rav Chanina bar Papa. It's referring to the cause of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. L'koil milein shemaraglim. Because of the sound of the words or the expressions of the meraglim, of the spies who came back with their negative reporting, Nisroyahu dal Yosein shel Yisrael. The branches, the high branches of Klal Yisrael got shaken or weakened and they collapsed. Basically, they caused cholesterol's gallus, etc. Damar Rabbi Chanan Amar Papa. Damar Gadol. Which expression, which words are we referring to? Damar Gadol, Dibur Meraglim Bais Hashem. The Meraglim came back. They expressed a very severe expression when they said, Ki Chazuko Mimenu. That the people of the land are stronger than Mimenu. So, in simple terms, Mimenu means stronger than us. But we have a drasha. They were referring to Hashem, Kaviyach. They're stronger than him. They, even with Hashem, we can't win them. Atikri Mimenu, instead of referring to just Mimenu with us, El Mimenu, they're referring to Hashem, Kaviyach, so to speak, Shafil Baal Bayis. Eino Yachol Lohitzikel Misham. It's like a property owner who can't, wouldn't dare walking into the tenant's apartment, into the building to pull out his equipment. He's terrified, scared for his life because of the scary people living there. Kaviyachla, even Hashem can't go in there, can't make house, can't make order. They're stronger. There was a lack of faith in Hashem's ability. So that was their great sin. Maskla Rabchir Rabchanina. So this is what the pasuk means. L'koil hamula. Hi, l'koil hamula. Gedoyla. Why does it say it like that? L'koil mila meboyle. If it's the words that it's referring to, say mila. Mila means words, not hamula. Ella. Rather, just the opposite. This pasuk is a pasuk of consolation. Amar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Avram. Hashem is turning to Avram. He's saying like this. Koil cho shamati v'chamati aleim. Yes, I heard your cry, and I had compassion on them. I downgraded, I commuted the galus experience, I shortened it. How? Ani Amarati, initially, the plan was, Yishtabdu b'arba malchiyos, they'll be subjugated by four kingdoms, they'll have galus Bavel, galus Paros Amadai, they'll have Yavan, they'll have Edom, and each one is going to be a very lengthy experience. So, let's say Golos is meant to last 1,000 years in total. It'll be 1,000 times 4. Each one of these Malchias will have 1,000 years on its own. Kol Achas V'Achas, each one of these will be Kishir Arba Malchias. Like all four together. So let's say it's meant to be 1,000 together. Each one was really meant to be 1,000. But now, I commuted it. It'll be 1,000 in total. Ha'ashto Kol Chada V'Chada Mada Pasakla. But now, I shortened it. Each one of these four will only have his own segment, and will total, you know, the 1,000 altogether. There's another version of what happened. Ani Amarti, initially I figured, b'zachazeh, it's going to be successive. Right? So each one is going to have his own, you know, segment of galus, followed by the next one, achshav asachas. But now, I'm going to wrap it together as a concurrent experience. Rashi explains, Hashem spread us out throughout the world. Some are on the Bavel, some are on the Yavan, some are on the Edom. So it's happening all at once. Now, Mefarshim explained, of course, we know there were successive galus. There was Bavel, there was... So we have that as well. But in the long run, Hashem packaged it together. There was a little bit above, a little bit, but later on, Hashem spread us out so we could experience all of them in a concurrent fashion to shorten the experience. Amar Shimon Levi. Lama Nimshal Yisrael is Zayas. What's the connection between Klal Yisrael and an olive tree? Let me look to tell you. Ma Zayas, just like an olive tree, his leaves are all year round. Ain olav noishrin. His leaves do not shed. Loib mois hachama, loib mois haksham. Not during the summertime, nor during the wintertime. Af Yisrael, likewise Klal Yisrael, around all the time, all season. Ain lam betele lomis, they live forever. Loib el mazeh, v'loi, by the above, there's no betela to Klal Yisrael's existence. There's no end to our existence, not in this world, not in the next world. V'amar b'yechon, lama nimshal Yisrael l'zayis. Once again, what's the connection between Klal Yisrael and Zayis? Loi malach. Wow, this is interesting. Strong chizuk for us. Let me have to tell you, ma zayis enei moitzi shamnoi el aydei ksisa, just like by olive. The oil is only produced by way of crushing it. Want to get oil? Got to crush the fruit. Af Yisrael, likewise, Klal Yisrael. It doesn't always happen by itself. Hashem sometimes needs to shake us up. Squeeze out the oil. We only revert back to good through hardships, through challenges. And that brings out our potential to be realized. Okay, so back to the Mishnah. So we're talking about a mincha that needs to be chametz. Typically you have a leavening agent, yeast or something, right? So do you sort of bring it from the outside? According to the mayor, no. You take a little bit of the flour. Right? You have a sarin, which is, let's call it a pound, right? A sarin, a pound of flour in this container. So you take a little bit out of the isarin, mix it with a little water, and you put it back into the flour so that it warms up and it gets incubated, and then it sort of turns into a leavening agent, and that's used to leaven up the rest to make it all chametz. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not really such a good system because it's not high quality sourdough. Because it's got to be done quickly and it's not the ultimate quality. Rather, we import from the outside. We take some sour that's properly processed and we use it to make this chametz. Now, that's an advantage because it's better quality, but as the Mishnah told us, the problem there, because it can affect the ultimate volume of flour that you have. You see, you're meant to have exactly an asarin of flour. Now, bring in a little piece of this dough from the outside. You don't know, is it more compact than the flour in this container? In which case, when you put it in and you fill it with flour to the top, you've put in more flour than should be there, if the whole thing would just be flour. Right, the displacement is less than flour, so you're adding more flour than. On the other hand, if the leavening agent that you're bringing in is less compact than flour, it's bloated with water, whatever, so its displacement is more than just plain flour, than if it would be just plain flour. Taking up more room than just plain flour. So then when you fill it with flour, when you finish, when you put it in and you fill the rest with flour, you put in less, you have less flour than you should. So either way, you're running a risk, either too little or too much flour. Okay? So that's not really an ideal situation either. So more explains what we just said. So the response to Rabbi Yehuda's system was, well, you're going to end up risking having too little or too much flour. What does that mean? Why? If the little piece of sa'ir, this dough that you're bringing in and putting into the flour container is ava, which means it's stiff and compact. Nimtzes yisera, midas yisara. So now when you fill the flour to the top, you put in more flour that would typically be there if the whole thing would just be flour. Right? Because this imported sourdough is more compact than if it's just flour. So you've filled it to the top now with more flour than it's rock. On the other hand, if the imported element is sort of more soft and bloated with more water than in which case it's displacing more flour than if it would be just be flour. Nimtzes chaseros. Now when you fill the container to the top, you have achieved less flour than you would if it would just be purely flour. Says the Gemara, well, who cares? Saif, ultimately, kiko kayali, sarin ko kayali, filling the sarin. I mean, who cares if, right? You're filling it up with flour, including the sourdough. So this is an sarin. So the Gemara, no. Sarin has to be an sarin of flour. The amount of flour that should be present when it's just purely flour. But here, the piece of sa'ir is messing up your composition, messing up your proportions. Rabbi Rav Yehuda, Tavai Devil explained, L'chemoisha hein ha'isim sharinan. It's got to be measured based on a sa'ir of pure flour, and not be disrupted by this piece of sa'ir, which is of a different consistency, which is messing up your... Says the Gemara, okay, but we have another solution actually. You know what? Take Isarin, fill it with just plain flour, so you're done. You know this is the Isarin, okay? And then take some of that now, turn it into sourdough, and bring it somewhere in a warm incubator, get it really, you know, cooked up, and then bring it back same day. It has to be done same day because otherwise there's lina. But that's a good middle route, that's a good solution. Lishkol Purtimne, take some of this flour, make it into chametz, mabrei, somewhere on the outside, properly processed, v'leisei, and bring it back in relation by day and knead it together with the sarin. So you've solved all the problems. You have the exact right amount of flour, and you have a professional sourdough. V'leisei by day, says the Gemara. Technically, you're right, but there's concern about confusion for the observer who might see this happening. Say, oh, we're allowed to bring in extra pieces of dough and put into Isarin. You're allowed to have more than Isarin. You won't realize this was originally taken out from here and it's just coming back. You might bring Isarin from elsewhere and end up with more than Isarin, which is not acceptable. So therefore, that's not really a solution. Hence, we go back to the Machloikis. In the Mishnah, Ramir says you take a little of the flour, knead it, and put it right back in. I'll leave it there. Now, going to Rabbi Yehuda, he says it's okay to take from the outside and fill the mida. Apparently he's not concerned about the discrepancy in the volume, because ultimately you're just filling the isarin. Okay, so let's recap today's daf. A mincha is meant to be matzah and matzah only. We have a pasuk, right? Matzah tihiye. There's a din of shimur. Safeguard its matzah status. We had a story with Rabbi Pareda, with Rabbi Ezra. Turned out to be a Talmud Chacham by his own right. In fact, he presented some interesting Divrei Torah in rhyme fashion with the Adir and the Yedid and the Zois and the Zeh. We discussed the conversation between Hashem and Avraham Avinu, who was advocating an account of his Einik Lach Klal Yisrael, which Hashem responds, yes, I will mitigate their experience and shorten their gullus. It will be zeichet, the shortening of the gullus. Here we may know, amen.